How many of you are like me who enjoy getting the tree down and getting the house organized and getting the new calendar out and filling it in? I like that about this time of year. Well, today we have a special treat for you. Our speaker today is Sherry Fojas. And usually Sherry's the one behind the scenes at Care Group, planning the topics, lining up the speakers, running off the handouts, and greeting you at the door. But today we're bringing Sherry up front. She's going to talk about balancing family and ministry. And she certainly has experience in this area. She's a mother of three. Her kids are 14, 12, and 9. She's also a home church leader and a junior high girls cell group leader. And she's worked for the fellowship on and off for many, many years. And currently she's the adult ministries coordinator. So she does things like this. The wonderful Christmas Eve service that we just had was planned by Sherry. And playgroups, conversation and cuisines, pub nights, things like that. So we're very interested to hear what God has taught her as she's balanced all these things over the years. So let me pray and we'll bring her up. Well, God, we just pray for Sherry this morning as she comes up and shares some of the things that you have taught her. And I pray for each person in this room. Everyone has a different situation, different kids, different gifting. And I pray that you'll just give them wisdom as they hear what's presented this morning and know just what you have for them, what your will is for them. I know some of us need to be challenged to move ahead. Some of us maybe have taken on too much. I just pray you give us discernment this morning. Thank you for Sherry's willingness to share what she's learned. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, let's see, am I on? All right. So as you can see, I have a lot of different responsibilities. This is my first year. My oldest went to high school. I have a middle schooler, and I have an elementary schooler. So I have three kids in three different schools, and there's a lot of juggling going on. And then plus being involved in leading a home group, working part-time for our fellowship, there's just a lot of ways to, it's easy to get overwhelmed by things. And I think, you know, with parenting, all of us experience tension on a regular basis, maybe on a daily basis. You know, we hear about needs going on all around us. There's a need for someone to help out at the school. There's a need, you know, to help out with this family. You know, maybe a friend, you know, has to go to the doctor and she needs childcare. You know, we're confronted with these needs on a regular basis. How are we going to respond to all these needs? Sometimes it can be so overwhelming. I see people respond in one or two extremes. So let me see how to use this. Here, I want to introduce my family. This is my three kids, Sam, Sydney, and Sophie. So they all have SF initials after my favorite football team. So the tension that we experience, you know, I think especially too, we live in a world where there's a lot of broken relationships. And with single parents, you know, we might know of single parents. Some of you might be single parents. There's, I think as families, we're called to be able to meet those needs. And yet, it's hard to know how much we should do in help, being able to help people that are struggling. And then being involved in the community. We're called to be lights to the world. So the two extremes that I've sensed with people is that the one extreme is that they get overwhelmed by all the needs around them, so they just focus on their family and focus on meeting their family's needs. And so that's one extreme. The another extreme that we see that can happen with people is that they can, you know, see all these needs and like, okay, I can do this, I can do this, and then they get overextended, and then they get overwhelmed, and then they're like, I can't do anything, you know, and then they give up, and you know, and they burn out, and that's not really healthy either. And so, you know, we need to figure out a way in which we can navigate between these two extremes and to be able to find that balance of being involved, being serving, and to be able to not burn out and give up on that. And so what we have to do is to not rely on our feelings. You know, maybe I had a good day today, so I'm willing to serve you, but tomorrow I might have a really bad day and I can't serve you. You know, we can't rely on our feelings or our circumstances to determine how we live, but this is where we really have to go to what is God's will for our life. in Matthew 22, you know, Christ is confronted by the religious leaders, and they're like, you know, of all the laws and all the commands that are given, what is the most important? And Christ's response to them is to, he says that you need to love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And this is something that God calls for us to live our lives, building our relationship with him and to build our relationship with others. And so this is part of living out the Christian life, is how are we called to love others that God has put around us? And it's really hard to love others. I think especially at Christmas time, we see just the selfishness that, you know, can come in from being able to love others. We see the selfishness with our kids, you know. Our kids give us a list of things they want, you know, and they have that list. And then every time they see a TV commercial or read ads in the paper, they add to that list. You know, it's like, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And yet, with ourselves, we have to be honest, we have our list of needs that we want, right? Whether they're spoken or unspoken, you know. We want to have everything to run smoothly. We want our kids to enjoy their break, to all get along, no fighting, you know. We want peace and quiet. We want them to appreciate all the work that we've done to make their Christmas or their break so great, right? So we have this list of needs, too, where we want these things. And it really exposes our own selfishness and our own self-desires, you know. And so this is where we really have to see, we can't love the way that God calls us to love. There's this verse in 1 John 4:19 where it talks about how we're able to love because Christ first loved us. And what this means here is that, you know, all of us are limited. We can only give so much. And yet God calls us to love unconditionally. And the only way that we're able to do that is if we first are able to draw from him. Because of Christ's example to us, in which he was willing to give up his rights to be able to come down here. You know, this is what we celebrate at Christmas, his birth. He came down here to live the perfect life and to die for our selfishness, our sins, so that we could have that relationship with him. And he doesn't expect us to love perfectly. He said we have to draw it from him. We're limited in our ability to love. And so the only way that we're able to really be able to find the ability to love people, to be able to respond to the needs that come around, is to be able to first draw from God and to say, get that love, ability to love others. You know, I think I read this book that really struck me. It's called A Quest for More by Paul Tripp. And he talks about how our lives are meant to be something bigger than what we have planned. He says this quote here. He says, there's woven inside each of us a desire for something more, a craving to be part of something bigger, greater, and more profound than our relatively meaningless day-by-day existence. This desire for transcendence is in all of us because God has placed it there. He constructed us to live for more than ourselves. We were never meant to be self-focused little kings ruling little kingdoms with a population of one. Sure, it's right for us to care about our health, your job, your house, your investments, your family, and your friends, but it would be irresponsible to act as if none of these things mattered. Yet it is a functional human tragedy to live only for these things. It is a fundamental denial of your humanity to narrow the size of your life to the size of your own existence, because you were created to be above and more being. And so what he's saying here is that our lives were not intended just to meet our own needs, you know, to meet our focus on our family, that God wants to use our lives to really impact others for him. And so, you know, it'd be like me using the smartphone just to make calls, you know. You'd be like, that's ridiculous. It can do so much more. You know, it's got some really cool apps, a GPS, a calendar, you know, my grocery list. It can do so much more. And really, when we live our lives just for ourselves, we're missing out on some really cool apps that God has for our life and for our kids' lives and for us to be able to impact others for him. And this is something that even the secular world has lots of, you know, literature and evidence on how it's healthy for families to be involved, to serve, and to be involved in the community. I just got this. I just Googled community service, and this thing from kidshealth.org came up. And he talks about the different benefits for your kids, and talks about, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but just highlighting, you know, how it helps them feel like they have a purpose, they have a satisfaction from that comes from helping others. It strengthens the community. It can strengthen your family by you working together. It gives you people a sense of responsibility. I have something to contribute here. It can show that one person can make a difference. And also it gives them, shows them the benefit of sacrificing. You know, maybe giving up their time or giving up their toys and how they can be able to help others. It also shows them about tolerance and job skills. You know, they get to be able to meet people from different backgrounds or different cultures. And it also tells them about how to fill idle time wisely. You know, that they can be able to have a meaning and purpose for their life. And so we see that, you know, not only does the secular world see the benefits of having that outward focus and being involved in the community, but this is also what God's plan is for our life. And so, you know, in order for us to understand what is it going to look like to balance our family responsibilities and our ministry, we need to first define what is ministry. And I think it's easy for us to define ministry as what we do versus who we are. And ministry really is living a life of building our relationships with God and building our relationships with people using the resources that God has given us. You know, the time, our money, our opportunities, all are to be used to bring glory and honor to God. And even our kids fall under this category. Our families fall under this category. It's not about pitting one against the other. It's like trying to find the balance between, you know, my family and my ministry. But our family needs to come under is a part of our ministry. And so, and we need to understand that, you know, all these resources that God has given us, we have not earned them ourselves. There's a great verse in 1 Corinthians 4:7 where he talks, what do you have that God has not given you? You know, our ability to work, our ability to think, those were all things that God has given us. And this is something that I've always been struck with, just understanding. Because as I think about my life, you know, I was born in Seoul, Korea, and I was adopted when I was 2 years old. And so, you know, I was given a lot of great opportunities. But, you know, as when I was thinking about it, if I had just been born 35 miles north, how different my life would have been. I would have been born in North Korea, a communist country. I would never have gotten the opportunity to leave and come here to America. And so, you know, all these things, and each of you have unique opportunities that God has given you, unique resources, and that those things are to be used to bring glory and honor to God. And so it's important for us to realize that, you know, that God wants to use all of our resources in every part of our life to so that he could be glorified here. And so, you know, when we think about ministry, I think it's really important that it's grounded in grace. And what I mean by this is that, you know, we are always going to fall short in our ability to love people. You know, as we go out to try to serve someone, we may, you know, not do it with the best intentions, or we may, you know, be able to, we're not going to be able to do it perfectly. And so, what we have to realize is that God is the one that is going to work in our lives. He's the one that's going to give us the ability and the resources to do this. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was talking to my daughter who is 9, and she was talking about somebody. It seems like families are the hardest people to love, right? And she's talking about a person in her life that she's really struggling with loving. And so, you know, I was like, you know, God allows these people in our life to teach us how much we need to depend upon him to love people. And, you know, and so she's thinking, she's like, yeah, God has put like 2 people in my life that's really hard to love. And then she's like, wait, no, 5 people. And then she's thinking, no, a lot of people. And I was like, yep, we all can be really difficult to love at times, you know. And so that's where we really have to see that we need to really be going to God and depending on Him and seeking out from Him how He wants us to love people, because it's hard. We're limited. And that in order for us to avoid, you know, being bitter or resentful for when we try to serve people, you know, don't you feel like, you know, gosh, they didn't even appreciate the sacrifice I made there. That's where we really have to go back to, why are we doing what we're doing? This is not for getting the reaction that I want from that person. This is not to get appreciated, but that we're doing this to bring glory and honor to God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And so it's really, we have to keep going back to this, or else we will get burned out, or else we'll get resentful and bitter about serving others. Well, when we talk about ministry, I'm a very practical person, and I want to know exactly what is that going to look like, you know? And I think for each of us, again, that's where it goes back to God has uniquely gifted us with, you know, different giftings, different personalities, that each of us are wired differently. And so it's not going to look exactly the same for you as it's going to look for that person, you know? And so we can't compare ourselves to other people. You know, and God gives us unique opportunities. You know, when I had babies and had preschoolers, I had an opportunity to do a play group with some women in our home group, and we were able to invite some other women to that. But that was the women that we were able to invite to that. I probably would have never been friends with those women if it wasn't for us having that common denominator of having a baby. So we got together and we got to, you know, get to know each other and to share our lives and stuff. And many of those women we still keep in touch today, even though some of them moved on. And, you know, just get to the opportunity to model what it looks like to live the Christian life to them. Also, when my kids, like Sydney, she started doing a soccer team 4 years ago with a lot of people in our neighborhood. And, you know, I got to meet a lot of people in our neighborhood that I probably never would have met if it wasn't for them being on the soccer team. And what's been really cool from that whole experience is that when Sydney started doing cell group in sixth grade, she invited a lot of those girls to come to cell group, and they have come and they have brought their friends. And it's been a really neat thing to see how God has really grown that group. And, you know, we were able to plant our cell group last year, and then we've grown really big again, and we're wanting to plant again, but we need workers. So if any of you guys are interested in doing junior high, we could use more workers. But, you know, it just, you never know what God has in mind with the different opportunities that you have. And, you know, when Sydney started the soccer team 4 years ago, I would have never believed what God did with that. And so it's really, it's kind of exciting doing ministry because even though there's no set pattern, which can be kind of scary for me because I like to know what to expect, it really makes you depend upon God to see what God's doing. And it's kind of like exciting to see, I wonder what God's going to do with this, you know. And it is a juggling act. I remember feeling really frustrated about, for those of you guys who tend to be perfectionism or struggle with perfectionism and have a certain perspective of how things should go, I was just feeling like I was not meeting up to any of my standards, you know. And I remember sharing that with Doug Patch, and he's like, you know, it's kind of like you're doing the best you can with the plates you have juggling. You know, if you just had that one plate, yeah, you could probably do a lot better at this. But you've got many plates that we're juggling, you know. And so this is the best we can do with what we have going on. And so I think we need to give ourselves grace for that and really understand that, you know, it's always going to change. You know, right when you feel like you know what your kid's schedule is going to be, their nap time changes, you know? Or right when you feel like you know how your kids are, their personality changes, and you're like, I don't understand them at all, you know? So it's always changing, and that's where it really makes us depend upon God. Yeah, we can't compare ourselves to others. Like I was saying, we all have different personality and giftings. But I think, you know, it's important to realize, though, that each of us are going to be accountable to the Lord with the talents that He's given us. You know, and so You know, you may feel like, well, I don't have the 10 talents. I only have that one. But what are you going to do with the talent that God has given you? What are you going to do with the resources that God has given you? Because God has put people in your life uniquely that he hasn't put in anyone else's life, and that he wants to use you to really be able to share God's love with them and model to them what it looks like. So don't focus on other people, you know, just be, you know, open to what God has for you. And then I think, you know, realizing that we're always going to be imbalanced. On this side of heaven, you know, we're going to go from one extreme to another. Maybe we are more inward focused, and that God wants to challenge us to be more outward. You know, maybe we tend to overcommit to things, and God's trying to rein us in and say, you need to focus. And so this is where I think it's really important to have other Christians in our lives to help us balance, because they know our tendencies. They know, you know, they can see how we're being, and they can realize, you know what, you could probably do something more here. You know, they can challenge us, because it's hard for us to be objective about ourselves. You know, we like to feel comfortable. We like to have things a certain way. And this is where others can really challenge us. And it's really important that we're open to others about that. So, and then, you know, I think the last question is, are we growing in our ability to love God and love others? You know, our ability to love is going to either go for God or for ourselves. And so we need to think about, are we moving towards loving God and others, or are we moving more towards loving ourselves and our, you know, our protecting ourselves? And so we have to really challenge ourselves, you know, in the last 6 months, or, you know, this beginning year, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, you know, or thinking back the last year, have I really grown in my ability to love others? You know, am I able to, is our family more loving, you know, being used in the community? Are we, you know, what, how are we coming across? And I think a lot of times it's hard for us to take the time to reflect about these things, and to, you know, we tend to be just reactors and just do whatever, you know, is the urgent thing that we need to be doing right now. But we need to spend some time thinking about why, you know, how are we coming across? What do people see about us, you know? That would be a good question to ask your friends. And so in terms of guidelines, am I going backwards? Okay. Principles to guide us. I think we, each of us need to have a clear vision or mission for what our family wants to be known for, you know, and then we need to allow that vision and mission to guide our specific decisions. And Stephen Covey talks a lot about having a family mission in his books, Seven Habits of Healthy Families. But I think if we don't have a clear vision and mission, we tend to just react to our circumstances, to our feelings, to things. But if we have that clear vision, it kind of helps guide us in our decision-making, whether we should do something or not. Like, for instance, last year when we were hearing about IFI ministry, which is working with international students, how they had a big need for people to pick them up at the airport, the international students pick them up at the airport and maybe host them for a few days, you know, is thinking about, okay, is this something that we should do? And, you know, when I thought about what the desire for our family is, that we pray consistently that God could use us to be able to share his love to others in the community, you know, I thought that matches with it. And so we, it's kind of funny, my 9-year-old went through the list of people, and so she picked out a girl for the girls, and then she picked out a boy for the boys. So at different times we had a Chinese woman, and then we had a Japanese guy stay with us. But it was a really great experience for our kids to learn about different cultures, to be able to, you know, try to get to know somebody else, and to really just get into somebody else's life, and how we were able to expose them to, you know, what American household is like. And we had them over for Thanksgiving dinner. It was really fun to be able to compare our cultures and things like that. So, you know, but we allowed our vision and our mission to define what we would do in terms of responding to that ministry need or not. And then the last principle here is just really being willing to be flexible. I remember really being struck by the teaching about how a lot of Christ's ministry happened as an interruption, you know. And I think a lot of times I get so set in how I'm going to, what my day is going to look like. You know, I get really tunneled vision. I remember my friend gave me a button once that says, "Hi, how are you? Get out of my way." You know, I can just tend to, you know, really be focused on my own agenda, my perspective. And I think a lot of times I miss out on opportunities that God might have for me because I'm so focused on my what I think I need to be doing that day. And so I think we need to be open to, you know what, I planned today to clean my house, but somebody stopped by and I ended up talking to them. You know, or being willing to be flexible in those ways. Or, you know what, our family time was tonight, but somebody needs this. We're willing to, you know, be flexible and make our family time another night. You know, just not being so rigid in our ways of doing things that we miss out on opportunities that God might have for us. And I think it teaches our kids to be flexible too, you know. I think, you know, you can see when kids are super rigid about things, they just, it doesn't really help them, you know. They need to learn flexibility because life is so unpredictable. Things never happen exactly the way you want, but we can roll with those things. Okay, so how do we know when we're doing too much? You know, are you feeling overwhelmed, feeling like you're running around a lot? And it's easy to start to feel resentful towards our schedule and our busyness. And this is where I think we can really, it's important for us to look objectively what's going on in our life. And so I really encourage you to write out your schedule, you know, or write out all the days of the week, write down in 30-minute increments, what are you doing with all those, with all your time? And so you can have an objective look at what's going on with your schedule. Where are you spending a lot of your free time? Where is that going to? And to look at the schedule and evaluate it according to what are the things that are from God and what are the things that are pursuing my own interests or my world's values. And I think, especially with kids, it can get really tricky about just looking at, you know, they have their different activities they're involved in, then you have your activities, and you can just get so crazy and you're just wondering, you know, how do you sort through all those things? And I think that's where you really have to look at things in terms of, you know, is there a way that I can be able to consolidate things? You know, like with my daughter, when she was soccer season, she did a step up from rec soccer. So that meant like 2 to 3 practices a week and 1 to 2 games a week during soccer season. And so that could be really crazy. And so what we ended up doing, since a lot of the families in the neighborhood were also on the same soccer team, we did a carpool. And so then we only had to drive like once a week. And then with the games, my husband and I would trade off. So usually I went to the Thursday game, he would go to the Saturday game. But it means like we need to be flexible in terms of we don't have to be at every game. We don't have to be at every practice. And it's good for our kids to see that they can be able to build relationships with other families in the neighborhood, and they can go with somebody else, and we can serve their family by driving them, things like that. But just, I guess, relieving yourself of the expectation that you have to do it all. But really looking at ways to be creative about maybe consolidating some things, and maybe sometimes that means limiting your kids' activities. Just because they want to do it doesn't mean that's the best thing for them. And so, you know, we really try to limit our kids to one activity per season because, you know, each activity can take a lot going on. And so, and it's good for our kids to realize that they can't always get what they want, you know, and that if they really want to do this, they better, you know, if they really want to take saxophone lessons, they need to put in the practice or whatever it is. So it's a good discipline for our kids too. And then I think with that, we need to prioritize these things based on what God's values are. And so, you know, there's a lot of activities that can take us away from focusing on the things that are really important. And that's where we have to go back to our mission statement and say, how is this really benefiting what we're trying to do as a family. And sometimes these activities can be more of a distraction than really helping them. It was interesting, we met with Sam's in high school, and we met with his teacher for a parent-teacher conference, and he was talking about having Sam take a different level of math, and he's like, yeah, maybe at summer school he can do something like that. And I was like, well, he can't really do that because last summer we tried to do it, but he goes to this Bible camp, or church camp, every year, and he really looks forward to it, and he doesn't really want to miss that. And the teacher's like, wow. He's like, I can respect that. And he goes, let me see what else I could do. And it was really cool because he came up with three other options that Sam could do for math to get him at what level that he wanted him to be at. And so, you know, I think when we are honoring God's values, that God will make provisions for us. It doesn't always happen, but, you know, it's neat to see how God used that for us to be able to share that with his teacher and stuff. And so, based on that, I think understanding that prioritizing things that God values, because God values relationships so much, it's important that we really invest in our relationships with our family. And so that means that we get committed family times with them. That part of that means dinners together. And I think with dinners together, this is something that I noticed with our family. It's easy to all be there physically, but not all be there mentally and engaging with one another. And so we've really had to be intentional about our dinners together, that we are relating with each other, we're talking to each other, and it's not just about shoveling food in your mouth and then leaving, doing what you want to do, but to really use this time as a time to decompress, to talk about the day, you know, what is your high, what was your low, you know, what was the good thing. And so, you know, them learning to be able to relate to each other. And I think this is especially important in this culture where media seems to consume more of their, you know, focus, and to really engage with each other and talk to each other about things. And so, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but that's what we're striving for. I think also, along with the dinners, it's important to get regular family times together. And I know a lot of people used to say, well, of course we'll get family times together, you know, but they don't really plan it. And one of the things that I've noticed is that unless you plan it, it won't happen. You know, just the tyranny, the urgency, things come up, you know, your husband's running out the door, you're running out, you know, you're just tag teaming a lot of times. So you have to plan those times in which you're going to get together as a family, and that you're focused on investing in the family. And then also focus on getting one-on-one time with the kids. And with three kids, it can be challenging. It doesn't happen every week. And yet, this is something that we're really striving for, and to really invest in them, even when they're young, because that investment will lead to, as they get older, they will continue want to have that relationship with you. And so I think those things are really critical, that we really fight to make sure those things happen, and to really strive, you know, building those relationships with our kids, because really they are our number one disciple, you know, along with our spouse. These are the people that God has put in our life and that we're going to train up to be able to learn how to love God and learn how to love others and stuff. And so it's easy to take those relationships for granted, but we really have to work hard in building and investing in those relationships too. And so, you know, before I get into some practical things, just some conclusion thoughts, you know, I think we have to remember what the goal is, that we want to love God and we want to love others, and that we have to model this to our kids. It can't be just something that we say, but that we really have to be able to first be convinced in our own heart, this is what God's plan is for my life, and this is what's really going to, you know, this is what I really want to do. And then as you model this to your kids, they will pick up on that, and they will, you know, catch how they could be used to be able to help others. And then we need to continue to be going to God to get filled to do this, because we are limited in our ability to love people, and that, you know, and to share with them, you know, sometimes I don't feel like going out and serving, or sometimes I don't feel like doing this. And yet God's going to give me, like, I can ask God to help me, or that I can take that step of faith knowing that this is what God's will is for my life. And, you know, afterwards, I feel good about how God used us. So, you know, really being able to share with them and realizing that they have to get it from God. And so, because I am so practical, I like to know specifically, and this is where I think we could really learn from each other. You know, God gives us other Christians in our life to really teach us. I mean, this is why I like about care groups so much, is that, you know, we can learn from each other, that none of us have this mastered, and that we can be able to share ideas with each other. So I just have some ideas, but if you guys have other ideas, feel free to share those, and we can learn from each other here. But for each stage of our kids' lives, you know, thinking about what are some practical ways that we can be able to share Christ's love to others and be able to serve others. And so for 0 to 2 years old, you know, I said modeling prayer time and reading the Bible to them. And I think even though they might not necessarily understand what you're doing or comprehend what you're saying, what they're seeing, though, is that you have this lifestyle of doing this. You know, don't wait until they're like 4 or 5 and they understand what you're doing. But this is for you to realize that in order for me to keep my sanity as a parent, in order for me to be able to love, I need to be able to get that time with God and get that time in the Word. And then also to stay involved in the body of Christ. I know a lot of young families, they tend to just kind of retreat and just focus on, you know, it's like, oh, I can't do anything. Our baby, you know, his baby schedule or whatever. And it's just so easy for people just to want to retreat from the body instead of really drawing close to them. And so, you know, sometimes you can't get out of the house because your kid is sick. But that's where you pick up the phone and call, or you invite somebody over, and just to be able to continue building on those relationships that God has provided for you. And it's a great opportunity for you to share your struggles. It's a great opportunity for, you know, you to be able to bear other people's burdens. And, you know, this time in my life, I remember really just struggling with feeling like I'm not doing anything, you know. And for a person like me who likes to accomplish a lot of things, I think God really had to kind of retrain what I thought was doing something, you know. And so during this time in my kids' life, I realized that I could really be, you know, learning about praying for people and not just doing things, but just really it helped me to increase my prayer time for people and thinking about specifically what they could be doing. I remember doing high school work with Julie, and, you know, she didn't have kids then, so she could go out and do all these things, hang out with people and feeling like, oh, I'm not hanging out with all these people like she is, you know. And yet the thing that God struck me with is that you can pray for her, you know, you can pray for people, and that, you know, your ministry might look a little different, and yet God still wants to use you and to readjust what your expectations are for you to do something, you know. And then have people over for dinner. This is always a great way to, you know, you're going to eat dinner anyway. Just do a potluck and just be able to connect with people. Because I think a lot of times when you first have a baby, it's so easy to feel isolated. You feel yucky. You don't want to have anybody over. And yet you need that. We need to be able to have that to keep our sanity, to have that outward focus, or we can just go crazy in ourselves, you know. I know. You guys have any other ideas of things that you could do for ages 0 to 2? Holly?
I think that you mentioned it already, but the playgroup idea is great.
Yeah, playgroups are really instrumental at this time. Yeah, it was good for me just to know that I had to get out and do something, you know, because it's so easy just to be in your pajamas all day and sit at home and not do anything. But yeah, and just to think about other people, like I'm getting ready to go meet with these people. I can think about somebody else, you know, and so, yeah, those are great. The next age group is 3 to 5, 2 to 5. And this is, I think, where we can start explaining to our kids why we're doing what we're doing, why we're having people over for playgroup, you know, why we're hosting, you know, a Bible study at our house. So explaining, helping them start to understand why we do what we do. Another thing is saying hi to others. I had a couple kids that were really shy, and they'd be like, I can't say hi, I'm so shy. And I'm like, I remember really being struck with hearing that shyness is just another form of selfishness, you know. And so I'm like, who are you thinking about here? They're thinking about themselves, you know. And so to challenge them to say hi to people, to be able to greet people as they come in. And so naturally, my kids are more introverts, you know, and so this was a really good thing for them to be able to get outside of themselves and to stretch themselves in that way. Again, praying and reading the Bible to them. And, you know, this is the age where when they start to pray, they just pray for their stuffed animals and their maybe their parents, you know. And so teaching them how to pray for different things other than just their own little world around them. Also, you know, this is the age where they start to, you know, they're playing parallel, but then they're also starting to interact with each other and how they can get into conflicts about toys and about sharing things. And so, you know, you right in the beginning, you can start teaching them to be a peacemaker. Another thing is about you going to a Bible study. I mean, how many of your kids, as you're trying to head out the door, they're like, I just want you to stay home with me, Mommy. I just want you to play with me, you know, and you feel like guilty, oh, I'm leaving them. But, you know, that it's really important for them to see that they're not the center of the universe, and that for them to see that you need to go here to learn how to be a good mommy, to learn how to love them better, you know. And so you're teaching them why you're doing things like this. You can get them involved in helping clean up for meetings, helping them make something for meetings. My girls really like to make food, so, you know, they like to make things. And you know, it's a great way for them to be able to invest and then play group with sharing toys and stuff. So do you guys have other ideas for this age group?
And I hadn't, you know, so this family I lived with, they had kids in this age range and a little older. And, you know, I had never seen these principles modeled in my own home. And it was so cool to see these, like, children getting with their parents every night and praying. Mm. And you're right, like, they would, like, pray for their pet turtle and stuff, like the youngest one would. But you could see them, you know, over the years, and maybe the ones that were more in elementary school started to pray for their parents' friends that they knew they were reaching out to and stuff. And it was so, like, those kids, when I remember there's one couple specifically that they would pray for, that they would receive Christ, that they would come into a relationship mm-hmm. with God. And, I mean, they prayed for that couple for, like, years. And then they did receive Christ. And that was just so faith-building for those children.
Yeah.
And I think it was cool, too, because they played a part in their parents' ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I remember being in high school and being like, dude, that's crazy. Like, I'm totally doing that with my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to now. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really, really cool point that you have up there.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for us to see on a day-to-day basis how this is making any difference in their life, you know? And sometimes it seems so hard. At the end of the night, you're exhausted, and you're like, just go to bed, you know? And but we really need to take those times to do that, because this is what those little steps were building a foundation for them. We're teaching them, we're modeling to them. And so, you know, it doesn't happen every night, you know, but this is something we're really striving for, to take that time to pray with our kids, to read the word with them, and to really show them how important that is part of our life. Go ahead.
Another thing that you were saying about how it's hard to get out of the house, like when you're home with the kids
yeah.
and they're crying and they need a nap. And I think it's really good to find an event where there's moms and go to it. Like, I've been going to, like, story time at the library,
uh-huh.
and it's a really cool outreach because you have so much to relate to with another mom and having
yeah.
a kid the same age that it's been really cool, and like the kids get to play together and they, you know, interact and become more social. So
Yeah, those are great things. I love story times at the library. This is a time where I didn't have to entertain my kids constantly, so yeah. Sure.
I remember another family told us to actually talk about what God's teaching us. You know, you're driving home from Central Teaching and you're like, I got to fix lunch and all this stuff. But just doing a couple sentences of like, hey, this is what God was teaching me today, that he loves me and accepts me. Isn't that cool? And then it gets that dialogue going of what they're learning from God. Because we can't underestimate that they actually can have a relationship with the Lord and grow. So that's.
Or where you feel like kids who have grown up in Xenos, it's easy for them to feel like, oh, I've heard it all before. I know that. And for us to say, what is God going to teach you new today? You know, maybe God has an opportunity here for you that you don't know about, you know, because sometimes my kids are like, I know all that stuff. I don't need to hear that anymore. And yet to really have that anticipation of what is God wanting to teach us, and that even though we've heard the Bible stories a million times, how are we going to apply this to our life, you know? And so this is where the challenge comes in. So, yeah, that's great after CT. For elementary school kids, this is where we could really get together and serve as a family. You know, maybe we hear about a family who just had a baby. We can make them dinner. Or we hear about a family that's moving. We can go help them. Or, you know, praying to be a light in the neighborhood and how we can really be able to help others. And, you know, maybe it's shoveling snow from your neighbor's driveway or picking up sticks or different things like that. Another cool thing is for elementary kids is with birthday parties, we started combining, instead of doing a separate birthday parties for friends in the neighborhood, friends at school, you know, family members, we started combining them together. And it's a great way for them to be able to get to know each other and to see that, you know, maybe some of your friends that you've been, the kids have been reaching out to, they get to know some of their friends from school. And so, you know, it's just using those birthday parties as a way to intermingle our relationships. And then also using birthday parties instead of having presents for themselves, like my one daughter, one year she used, instead of getting birthday presents, she asked for money to go towards one of the missionary families. And it was really cool because it was the Walkers, and they were back in town that summer. And so Rachel got to come to the birthday party. And, you know, and so the girls got to meet, here's somebody from a different country, and they got to learn about her and to the money that was going to support the ministries that her family was doing. And so, you know, that didn't happen the next year. She's like, no, I want gifts next year. But, you know, they get an opportunity to see how, you know, they can be used in that way, and it's a really positive experience for them. Other things is we like to do vacation Bible school together. You know, our families like to do that. One year when we didn't have vacation Bible school, we did a backyard Bible club with some of the other Xenos families in our neighborhood, and it was a really great opportunity for our kids to step up and to serve, that, you know, invite people and to invite people to this thing. My son did the skits. He worked on skits for the kids, and so all the kids could get involved. And it was just a great way that we could serve and share Christ to people in the neighborhood and stuff. What other ideas do you guys have?
We kind of see play dates as serving others. My 7-year-old invites people over just to clear levels on his video game. And so it's like, okay, we're not going to do that. You need to play with your friend and see what, you know, they would like to do and stuff. As well as I think it serves, I feel really served whenever my kid goes to someplace else to play. So I think it really helps the other parents as well.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, and then junior in high school, this is where, with junior high, it was really fun. I got to do cell group with my daughter, Sydney, and it was a great way to connect with her in a way that I never had before, and, you know, just praying for her friends, thinking about, you know, the night, and, you know, praying for the teacher, or thinking about, you know, how she could really be used there with different people. So, you know, that's cool. Oasis is a great opportunity to teach our kids how to serve. It's really neat to see how they can be able to impact other kids, younger kids, you know, in ways that adults can't, you know. It was interesting, my brother-in-law, who's an ER doctor, one of his patients came through, and he's like, Fohas, I know that name. And he's like, oh, do you know my brother who's a dentist? He's like, no, I know this Sam Fohas. And he's like, my kid has him for church and loves him, you know. And so it's really neat to be able to see how, you know, your kids can really impact other kids. And Oasis is just a great opportunity for them to be able to learn how to serve in that way. And then also serving in the community. You know, we do things like, like when they had the Serve Fest, or we have some yearly traditions that we do. Like, we ring the bell every year for Salvation Army. We go down to Graceland, and at the Kroger's there, we sing. We did that with the Riggs and Simmons 1 year. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, at first you don't really want to do it, but then it's a fun tradition to do. And my kids were asking me this year, they're like, when are we going to do that again? So, you know, it's really cool that we can all do that together. We usually do that with a couple other families. And so we do things like that, and what other traditions? Oh, we do, like, Operation Christmas Child. You know, we'll go for a family night, and everyone gets their allowance, and we go to the dollar store, and they go shopping for, you know, pick a child, and they go shopping for that, you know. And so we also have traditions like helping Mrs. Patch in her classroom. 1 year, we were she's getting ready for her class for the school year, and now my kids look forward to doing that every year. They're like, when can we go to Mrs. Patch's class and help her out? And so, you know, just being able to look for opportunities in which you can be able to serve and help other people, and it just becomes a really fun thing to be able to do that together as a family. You know, we've had bake sales. Like when we were living right in Clintonville, we were right there by Whetstone when the fireworks, and 1 year we did a lemonade stand and, you know, bake sale, and all the money went to supporting, you know, one of the missionaries or something like that. And it was just a really cool thing where they could see they can make money into how they can help other people. So they're always thinking of ways to make money. it's kind of interesting. So yeah, those are some ideas I have for junior high and high school. You guys have others? Chris.
I think in high school, we had high school group in our house, so our kids just served by, like, getting the house ready, because it was a team effort, and praying beforehand, things like that. But the other thing is just getting involved in their friends' lives. And my son, my one son's married, my oldest son, my youngest son is a junior in college, and just over Christmas break he said, Mom, I want to have another slumber party, because all my friends have been talking about how we used to always come over and hang out at your house, and you'd wake up in the middle of the night and make cookies, things like that. So, you know, that's a really cool thing. To your kids are going to hang out with their friends, so have them over as much as you can, and be hospitable, make a lot of food, and it can be any hours of the night, but do it, because then they'll want to come back for the food and stuff. And the other thing I wanted to say too is that Sherry ended with junior high and high school, and my kids are now, one's married and one's in college. You never end, you know, parenting is a lifelong process. And what's really cool is kind of like what Sherry had said, is to keep on sharing with your kids what God is doing in your life. And, you know, just over Christmas break, I was sharing with my son what God has been teaching me in my marriage. And we've been married 26 years, but it's still work. And just the fact that I still play a role in his life, and in my daughter-in-law's life, and in their marriage, and just kind of just not only role modeling it, but sharing with them you know, the struggles I have, and you know, and asking them, what can I be praying for you about? You know, sometimes that puts them on the spot, but so what? They're so used to me asking it now, they're just like, okay, whatever. So now they kind of think of it beforehand. But, you know, now they welcome it. Now they, you know, when I forget to ask, they'll say, this is who you can be praying about for, Mom. So it's a really cool thing to know that you still play a role, even when they get older. So, oh, and the other thing is, this is really exciting. We're still reaching out to a lot of the soccer moms of my son, John, who's 21 now, when he was in high school, and actually even junior high. We're still reaching out to some of those parents, and we still get together with them. So, you know, invest in your kids, you know, like if they're on the soccer team, have the soccer team over and, you know, get to know those parents, because that was really my husband's and my biggest outreach was whatever, you know, they were involved in, we would try to get to know the parents and got involved in the concession stands and things like that in high school. So it's a great way to get out there and serve.
That's really good. That's super practical. And, you know, this is why I really value relationships, to, you know, get to know parents that with older kids and learn from them. You know, this is how I think God really intended to use the body of Christ to help support us. We're not, I mean, parenting is hard work, and we can't do it on our own, you know, and that it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. You know, I think we live in a culture that values independence and self-sufficiency, and we really have to fight against that to realize that, you know, we can get help from each other, and we can support one another, and, you know, maybe I don't know what you know how to help you, but I can pray for you, you know, and I can be able to. And it's so comforting to know that people are praying for my kids, you know, and that people care about my kids, and, you know, that if anything was to happen to us, you know, really struck me one time thinking about, you know, I don't have everything I need to. I don't have everything my kids need, you know, but God has provided them with the body of Christ, and that He's put people in their life to give them what they need. And so it doesn't have to all come from me. And that's very freeing to know, because we're limited, right? And we have our weaknesses, and God has put people in their life that can teach them the things that we're weak in and to really help them with those things. And so we're not alone in parenting, you know, and just to really, you know, take opportunities like this, take opportunities to get together with other moms and to share your struggles, and that you're not the only one that's thinking those thoughts. You're not the only one that, you know, is struggling or yelled at your kids today. You know, this is something that we can really help each other with and pray for each other on. And then, you know, just continue like what Chris was saying, seize those teachable moments. You know, after you get an opportunity to serve together, talk about how did that make you feel? What do you think that person felt that you got to serve? You know, and it really helps them to learn empathy, to be sensitive to other people's needs, and to really, you know, see that I can contribute here. You know, I think we have a very cynical society, you know, where people are just judging each other and, you know, just sitting back. And we can really stand out against that and to really be able to say, what can you do about that? You know, so your kid who notices that these people always fight at school, you know, how can you help here? You know, how can you be a peacemaker? How can you pray for that situation and not just silently judge that, you know? And so to really teach them that they have a role to contribute to that. And so I think that's about all I had. Do you guys have any other questions or comments?
One thing that I've learned recently is that I can multitask. Like, I used to think that if people came to my house that I had to drop everything and focus on them, which when I can do that, that's great. But, like, somebody stopped over unexpectedly a couple days ago, and I realized I can listen to her share about struggles in her life as I'm chopping up the vegetables for the dinner that night. And it's not detracting at all from, you know, her being able to talk and me being able to listen. And I think it really, for me, comes down to realizing that if the Lord is sovereign, then He has arranged my time. And He knew before the world was even created that I was going to need to make dinner and that my friend was going to come over. And so I can go with that and trust that that's his provision for me. And, you know, when my first kid was about a year and a half old and I felt like I just can't even do this anymore, it was at that point that I read Watchman Nee's book, Release of the Spirit, which is such a helpful book because he argues that every detail is God's design for us to show us our need for him. And it was so relieving to read that because I was like, oh, my God, I can't even handle washing the dishes sometimes. And Nee is like, those dishes are God's provision for you. And so it really helped me rest a lot more in the fact that the craziness is as much a part of God's design for me as those quiet moments where I can be reading the Bible and feeling like I'm communing with him. And just it's really helped develop my trust in him and what he has designed for my life.
That's really good. And I think also with housework, it's so easy to feel like, you know, we have to do it all. And I think that's where we can get our kids to be involved in serving and helping us learn how to do that. And so, you know, when they unload the dishwasher, maybe all the things don't go in exactly the place it's supposed to go, but they get to be a part of that and they get to help out or helping with laundry or whatever it is. It's important that we try to incorporate our kids as much as possible in helping with things because, like, it's not fair for us to have to do it all and then they get to play, but I say, I would love to play with you. If we hurry up and clean up after dinner, we can play a game before, you know, and so just teaching them to be a part of what you're doing is really important.
I liked what you said about people think ministry is about what we do versus who we are, and something I keep getting from God, I think, during this time in my life is how much of an opportunity this is for me to grow with him and for me to get to learn his word and for me to, you know, like that verse that says, not be one of those women who's captivated by various impulses, and that's, you know, what the false teachers are going to do, you know, in the end times and stuff. And I think that if I let things just go, like you said, the world's values is, this is the time when the world's values can easily just like sweep me away. And I feel like God's like, those quiet moments, read the word a little bit more, you know, and my kids are watching just who I am and how I treat people and what I do with my free time and how I prioritize. And so I guess it seems like, oh, my God, I'm just sitting here. What do? I'm isolated, and you're faced with yourself. And I feel like God's just like, this is one of the most important times in your life of my relationship with you and what I'm going to teach your children to through who you are and what you do with your time. And you know, the Barna study, those trends are, there's not many spiritual leaders anymore in this world, meaning like people that don't practice spiritual disciplines anymore, and the technology addiction, you know, and just those four big trends. The millennials, you know, the generation that's, they're in their 20s right now, they're not into the Lord. They're more into, you know, the world system and all that. So I think, you know, that God is teaching me this is a really important time for you. And be a student of culture, you know, because if not, you're going to be carried away by it. Yeah.
That is really good.
She's online. Yeah, I was just thinking of another cool thing to do with your kids is sponsor a child from another country, like Compassion International or World Vision. And we did that with our boys, and it was just fun to write letters back and forth and watch the child grow up. And here are my boys pray for this boy, and it's just a cool thing. And another couple in our home church, they picked two kids that had the exact same birthday as their kids. And so that they were always in their mind how old they are and what they might be into and comparing cultures and thinking of them. So I thought that was a good idea.
I just wanted to recommend a really good book that I've been reading. And I think all wives and mothers should read this book. It's called Large Family Logistics, but it's not just for large families. It's very Christian-based. It's by Kim Brenneman. But it is just, it's blowing me away. Just getting organized is one of the things, but it's much more than that. It's just this mindset for being a good mom and a good wife. And it obviously it goes from the Proverbs 31, you know, passages, but it is outstanding.
Yeah, I think we need to constantly be learners and reading, because it's just, we can't just rely on our own means. And there's a lot of great resources out there. We can help each other and, you know, to realize that and to learn, you know. So that's good. All right. I'll just end in prayer. God, I thank you so much for how you've made us parents. You put these kids in our lives, and that you want to use us to really be able to help them and to be able to make an impact for you. And so we thank you, God, that you give us the resources that we need. And we pray that we could really rely on you, that we could really help lead our kids to serve you and to realize that living a life for you is so much more rewarding than living for ourselves, God. Just thanks for these women coming out, and we just really pray, God, that you would be helping us know what things you want us to incorporate for ourselves, God. Amen.